This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, episode 309. We're doing the final Mel Gibson as Mad Max, his trilogy, in the leading role. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is...
Nate, from Netflix Reviews.
All right, so we're up to the final film, Mad Max Beyond the Thunderdome, from 1985, starring Mel Gibson and Tina Turner. Grammy Award winner. Yeah, big Grammy Award winning singer, actress, it looks like. But yeah, but that's it, Nate. What, anything, I mean, I know you never seen it, but anything heard from the grapevines, anything?
No, so I've never seen this one. The only thing I know about it is the Tupac California Love music video was inspired by... So I knew there was going to be some sort of dome structure and a desert. Other than that, all I've ever heard people tell me is it's their least favorite Mad Max movie. I don't know. I don't know anyone who says, like, I think I said this last week. No one ever told me it was their favorite. Everyone says like 1, 2 or Fury Road. No one ever picks this one. So, but I said, you know what? I don't care what they say. I'm giving it a wide open chance because I like the first two. They're really good. So we'll see.
Yeah. When it comes to three, I'm with the guys. I'm not into this movie.
I'm not going to
sugarcoat it because we're doing the podcast. I'm going to be really honest. Pretext, yes. I'm not a big fan of this film. So even rewatching it, I gave it a clean slate like I do with all the movies when we're sitting here. But there's a lot of stuff that I got problems with, which we're going to talk about in the film. But there's a lot of positives. I'm going to say it's not all going to be negative. I got some positives here too. But with that said, oh man. All right, let's get to the critics and audience first before we get to financials.
So this is an interesting one. You know, I've been doing the difference, how much it rises or falls. The critics one is not horrible. It's actually got an 81% critic score, this movie. It is down 12% from Road Warrior. That had 93. So it went down, but it's still an 81, which I'm going to tell you right now, this has to be, because there's only four movies, this has to be one of the most well-reviewed franchises we've ever done, because I know for a fact Fury Road is over 85 or so. So they're all 80 and higher, which is impressive. However, we do take a pretty steep dip in the audience score, because this one is down 37% from the last movie to a 49. This has, so a big gap, 81 critics, but only a 49 from the audience. And like I said, 37% lower than the last movie. So that's not great.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. To me, that's very weird where we review a lot of movies that are really good. And we were like, why is it has a low score? But a movie like this, because we're going to go into it, that it's in an 81. Like I'm looking at it and I'm not giving away my scores, but I'm just thinking back to the film and I'm going, what in this gave them an 81? Like, why the positives? Like
a lot of critics seem to really like it. And again, I don't check these scores until after I watch it. So I was also a little surprised.
Shocked?
I thought it would, to be honest with you, when I was done watching it, I thought the first one was like 89 or whatever. The second one was like 93. I'm thinking, honestly, I was thinking like 70. I thought it'd be 70, maybe 68, something like that. I did not expect 81. So no, I was surprised.
No, I don't expect it either. But you know what? Financially, this is not a good movie. Ooh. It only made $36 million worldwide. That's not good at all. That's really horrible. I mean, even if I pull up the Mad Max number 2 from 81, that came in at $23 million. I mean, it did make more. I mean, I got
this one looked like, again, this one looked like it had a bigger budget.
It did. I mean, it didn't give me the budgets here, but it did go up more than the sequel. So technically, it is on an uprise, and it financially, it looks like it's a big hit. Now,
well, when did this come out?
This came out in 85.
Okay, and they didn't make another one for almost 30 years. So it must not have made a huge amount of money for Warner.
No.
Because Fury Road was way later than this one.
Yeah. And then Mel Gibson at the time became a megastar with Lethal Weapon during the 80s, right? And then he did all the other films.
Yeah. He said, forget that. I ain't going back in the deserts hanging out with George
then
Miller.
Again, Lethal Weapon is Warner Brothers, right?
It is. They said, hey, we got a star here. Let's put him in something different. And then those were huge mega hits, which we already covered. Go back and listen to them. But, you know... He said, I don't want to go in the desert, and I will rather go into cities. So he became Lethal Weapon, and then he became just a super megastar.
Yeah, no, I agree. All right, let's get right into it, because I want to hear what you think on the on this film. I think I can see where we're going to go here, but let's see.
Okay.
All right, what did you think of Mel Gibson as the final time as Mad Max lead character?
Yeah, okay, so... What did I think of him? I gave him a 3. I think he's exactly the same as he was in the second movie, except he had long hair for a little bit. I can't wait to... The thing I want to talk about most in this movie is storyline, so I'm not going to waste a lot of time here. He was fine. His performance was fine. Again, I do think, you know, he played the part well, just like he did in the second and the first movie. I just don't understand how they didn't do anything really new with the character. You know what I mean? Like, this is your third film, and essentially this one plays like the second one in that it opens with narration and it closes with narration, and it makes it like he's this legend figure that just pop. Again, these movies are called Mad Max, but he is almost like just pops into these existing stories, does stuff, and then we remember when he helped us that one time. Like, that's pretty much, they're not really, really about him. And I think it hurts the character, because you could have made this same exact movie and then just put someone else as the lead character. Let's say a guy named Jim, and you could just call it Beyond Thunderdome. Same story, same movie, but it's Jim. And the movie's no different than if it's Mad Max. So I gave him a 3 because he's good in the action. He is a little bit, I would say he has a little more going on than the second movie because of the stuff with the weirdo freaking, the lost children from Peter Pan that he finds in the wilderness. So I gave him a 3. I wanted him to go back up, but he never did for me. So
when it comes to Mad Max, I like his design of the long hair.
Yeah.
See how he, you know, aged he looks wandering around in the desert, and I was like, wow, he looks all cool. Mm-hmm. Other than that, that's all he is. He looks cool. Cause I agree with you 100%. I gave him a 3. His character didn't even develop. It was just a stalemate in terms of writing. Mm-hmm. Again, I think they concentrated way too much on the world building than the character himself. I that's my personal take. I think Tina Turner's character had more character development than Mad Max in this movie for some reason. Like, I that's what I felt like. I wasn't too thrilled with him. He was great in the action, which we'll talk about in action, but that's it. There's nothing. They killed his wife in the first one. That is it. They killed Goose. He has no interaction with friends. Nothing. So he's just like a loner in this world of post-apocalyptic, but I can't feel for the dude. Like, it's just like, I'm like, okay, so he's just character in the story. And I agree with you. You know, I'm starting to think after the third movie, I'm starting to think, even is Max even real? Like, is he
that's a good point.
That's a fair point. I mean, to be really honest, I'm not saying it as a joke, like in terms of like, he is like in terms of real life Mad Max.
Is he within these films? Is he just a legend? Like a story?
Yeah.
They're just telling a story about this guy. No, yeah, that's a fair point.
Because I'm like, maybe he was real in the first one and he did die in part two, but now he became this figure. Like he's this, you know, like this godlike character, and then resurrected by the third one because he has longer hair and people, you know what I mean? And they start telling stories. So I'm like, you know, I'm thinking to myself, like, is this dude even real? Is it like a fight club type
maybe
character?
Maybe it is actually a guy named Jim. Mad Jim.
You know why I'm thinking that? Because I'm like, you know what? Tom Harding is Mad Max, right? In the new movie. I'm not talking about the new movie, but what I'm saying is that he's is playing the same character.
Yeah.
So I'm like, he's a different dude's face, but I'm like, does everybody see him as Mel Gibson? Because they don't remember him at the end of the, you know, it's been so many years. So when they're telling the story, is like Mel Gibson, but in reality, they look like Tom Harding because he's mad young. He's
also younger than the one that's in this movie.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Good point. I didn't even think about that, but that is actually valid.
Yeah, so anyway, with that, I gave it a 3. You gave it a 3. Now, main villain, we got Tina Turner. We got Master Blaster, Flaster, Taser, Blazer, and all that.
Master Blaster is two different people, right? Master is the little guy, I think.
Yeah.
Blaster is the big kid, the big giant, jolly green giant.
Special needs, yeah.
2. I gave it a 2. All right, so let me explain. You got Tina Turner. Looks great, by the way. Looks great in this movie. Great look. You know, like, as far as the outfit, the hair, everything. Great. And I love Tina Turner's music. Amazing singer. She was actually not a bad actress either. She's pretty good in the movie. Yeah. However, she's one of those characters where, like, she starts off like he's helping her, and then she decides to turn on him. Kind of because he did it first. You know, he was like, this is not part of the deal. Nobody had to know about the deal. All you had to do was what the job was, and then they probably would have just let him go, honestly. But he forced her hand. She's like, you know what? Now I'm going to kill you. Forget it. We got to kill everybody. No, you got to go face the wheel. Break the deal. Spin the wheel or whatever they're talking about. You know, like all this weird stuff. That means
break the deal. Spin the wheel.
Yeah. Break the deal. Spin the wheel. Break the deal. Yeah. Spin the wheel. I'm like, oh my God. That wheel was not as impressive as I thought it was going to be too. When they finally show it, like, that's the wheel. It's just a little metal piece with one of them just says death. So anyway, I'm like, okay, he broke the deal. Now she's really the bad guy. And then Master Blaster, he's not initially a bad guy either, but she got beef with him. They're kind of warring. They're like, he thinks he's in charge because he knows how to operate the machinery in the bottom, and she thinks she's in charge, and they have a feud, and she uses Max to kill him so that she could just be in charge. That's kind of the plot of the beginning of the movie. It is movies like two movies in one. That's like the first 40 minutes. And I didn't care for any of it. Honestly, I didn't think, like, she was not imposing. She looked cool, like I said. People listened to her, although they probably could have just taken her out if they really tried. You know, she's just a lady. And then Master Blaster was hilarious. Like, the little guy was hilarious, but I hated when they took the helmet off that guy and he just looks like a big kid. He's like, and I'm like, oh my God, really? Okay, sure. He's like an incredible fighter. He's like super athletic. He's doing all this stuff, but then he's, I'm trying to use my words carefully here, so I'm just doing sounds. Anyway, and then of course you have just guys, bunch of guys. Some of them have like thongs on, and I'm like, what is going on in this movie, dude? These George Miller be writing these freaky deaky S&M weird desert people in every one of these films. So I gave it a 2. I know I rambled a little bit. I just don't think they're great villains. No one has as cool of a name as Toe Cutter, or what was the guy in the last one that was like, he had the mask. He had a cool name too. Humongous or whatever his name was. You know, like, yeah. Those are way cooler. I don't even remember Tina Turner's name in this movie. I don't even know what it is. So 2 for me.
No, her name was Auntie.
Auntie. That's the worst. That is not as cool. Master Blaster is kind of cool, but I hate that it's two people. I wish it was just literally one person.
Then you had Iron Bar. He's the one that had the doll head attached to him.
Yeah, yeah. That guy was weird too.
That was Iron Bar. Okay. That was his name.
Well, I didn't like him either. So there you go.
Yeah. Well, don't worry about it because I gave it a 1. Yeah, I gave it a 1. And this is why. Tina Turner did look great for that role. I think she was great in the role.
Yes.
She didn't do nothing. She didn't need to fight because all she did was just say, hey, get whatever. And everyone's like, yeah, woo. Master Blaster is one of the most useless characters. Like, I did laugh at Master Blaster. And I didn't laugh at the Blaster character. I laughed at more at Master. He said, hey, tell everybody who runs this place.
Yeah.
And he put on the PA. And I was like, oh, okay, cool, whatever. It is what it is. But, you know, in reality, this had to be the weakest villains in the film. Yes. I'm not going to harp on it because I thought the villains was all trash in this movie. George Miller must have a big ass fetish with dudes in spandex.
Assless chaps.
Yeah, ass chaps. Butt chops.
Butt chops. I gotta get me a pair of butt chops.
Yeah, the butt chops. Yeah. Oh, so, like, for me, he has, like, this big fetish with that stuff. Again, George Miller is a great visionary.
Yes.
Just like George Lucas, great building these worlds. But, man, now I'm kind of to think this guy cannot make a villain. I think his villain's just bad. Mm. But anyway, I gave it a 1. You gave it a 2. All right, let's get to action scenes.
All right, I was disappointed. I'll be honest. I was disappointed. I gave it a 3. I don't think it's horrible. But compared to the first two, where you just get, I mean, especially the second movie is like perfectly executed action scenes. And the first movie is perfectly executed for a small budget. This one looks the most polished, and it has two directors. And I'm going to blame the other guy. I think the other George, it was like George Ogilvy or something like that. That guy screwed it up. It has to be because George Miller, I already know he knows how to really direct action scenes. This has the fight in the Thunderdome, which I'm going to be honest with you, Alex, way less cool than I thought it was going to be from the title. You know, they're like, Thunderdome. The Thunderdome sounds like an awesome place. And then you see it, and it's a little cage, and they're freaking on like bungee cords, and they're doing like American Gladiators. It looks like American Gladiators, and they're jumping, and there's weapons, and like way less cool than I thought it was going to be. Cool concept, bad execution. And then after that, he escapes. No, he gets sentenced to the gulag or whatever, and it's like jail, and he escapes, and then it's literally nothing for a really long time. And then the last 25 minutes, there's some cars. And these are car movies. Let's call them what they are. The action, the best action in Mad Max is cars and stuntmen doing stuff in and around cars and trucks. Like, that's what it is. There's no cars in this movie until the very end. And even then, maybe you'll agree, maybe you'll disagree. It looked like there was way less cars than any other movie. It looked like they were driving that big truck that was kind of like a little train. It was on like train tracks. Yeah. And then you had there's like 9 bad guy cars. And that was it. And they don't do anything spectacular. It is still, there is still a one or two stunts that are pretty cool. And the train just goes through that one and it blows up. And, you know, so I gave it a 3 because there is action and it's well shot. I just didn't find it thrilling or enough. They needed more. And it's PG-13. So it was way less like violent than the first two films. So a 3 for me. Kind of disappointing.
I'm going to be super duper honest. I gave it a 2 for decent.
Oh, okay.
And this is why. The Thunderdome is a piece of shit. I'm going to call it like it is. I totally forgot how boring and garbage it is. It is one of the most dumbest. It's a great concept, like you said, but it is like he should have been like, yo, this is really stupid. Like, there's no way I can stab you with a chainsaw if we're bungee jumping. I might cut myself at the same time. Like, it is dumb. Yeah. Like, this is one of the dumbest things. It totally looked like a Ninja Warrior type obstacle course. Like, me versus you. Like, it wasn't thrilling at all. It was really stupid. Mm-hmm. The train scene to me was the highlight of the movie because at least it looked like a chase on a train.
Yeah.
My only thing is the train goes faster than the cars, so I don't even know why the cars were even trying to catch up to this train. But it is what it is. So I was like, it worked out for whatever it was. And I was like, it's fine. I felt like it was lazy, the car chase. Because there's a scene that Mad Max jumps onto this cow-looking car. He bumps one car, and the car literally goes off the road and hits another car and explodes. And I'm like, why would it like, it was just like, why? Like, it was just like, it was explosions to have explosions. It did not work for me, this movie, in terms of action. I do agree with you. I think Mad Road Warrior is the best overall in terms of how it, in terms of the three films. I don't want people to be like, oh, you remember the other one.
Well, we haven't done Fury Road yet. Yeah.
In terms of this one, Road Warrior to me executed what we wanted in terms of a post-apocalyptic chase scenes and action. Yes. This one didn't deliver. It didn't go good. I'm not going to harp on it. I gave it a 2. Like I said, it's decent action, but that's all I could give it. Because honestly, I wasn't even going any moment. I guess the train scene is the biggest moment, but even that
but it's
was
all
like
the way at the end. By the time it comes, I'm like, I don't
who cares?
Care anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, at that point, you're just like, who cares at this point? Yeah. All right, 2. You gave it a 3.
Yeah.
Where you wanted to always go to. Storyline.
Oh, God. This thing is, this movie's mad weird. So, first of all, I'll be honest, when I'm watching it, I thought we were never going back to the town. I was like, is this movie just like we were in this little town where they have electricity that's made out of pig crap because of the methane and all? Like, it's gross, first of all. And then, you know, they're there. He gets sentenced, whatever. And then all of a sudden, it turns into this weird, like, not fantasy, but I don't even know how else to describe. Maybe fantasy. He's in like this little, first of all, he's like in the desert, but then it's like a little tropical looking area. He looks like he found that little, the place in Hook with Robin Williams where all the Lost Boys are sleeping. And there's mad kids there. Whose kids are they? Who knows? There's just a bunch of kids in here. They talk weird. They don't quite talk like Yoda, but they almost talk like little Australian Yodas where like the words are kind of in a weird order. And then they're telling the story of the airplane captain. They have one of those little things and they made this whole mythology about the captain's going to come pick them up. And he's the captain. And he's like, I ain't no stinking captain. He throws the hat. That part was funny. That made me laugh. He's like, nope. And he's like, there's the cities, but they're all gone. Like, basically, no, none of this is going to happen. Whatever. It becomes like their savior. And I'll be honest, from there, I was confused the rest of the time. Like, he goes, he's going to leave, and then some kids go with him. And then all of a sudden, they, like, happen upon these other kids, and one of them's in quicksand, and then they're helping the kid out. And then they go, then there's like, well, we got to go get this train. So then they go back, and they get the train, and then he doesn't go with them. They go on with the master, the little guy. I guess they're going to go develop electricity somewhere else or whatever. I did not like it. I did not like this story. Less is, it's been proven with these movies, less is more with the Mad Max movie. We don't need, I get what he was trying to do. And I agree with you. You're trying to build a world here, but this world is weird and it's confusing and I don't know what's going on. And it looked like the Lost Boys from Peter Pan. So I gave it a 2. The only reason I didn't give it a 1 is because I save my ones for where they feel lazy. This story doesn't feel lazy. It just feels overly convoluted. Like you're trying too hard, but you tried. So a 2, a soft 2 for me. I'm ready for it. I'm ready
for what you're saying. I'm not going to give it a 1. I'm not going to give it a 1. I gave it a 2. I thought it was decent. But the first half of the movie, I was like, okay, this is cool. You know, he's first of all, I do not understand why the pilot guy did not know that was Max when they both were
it's the same guy.
Damn sequel.
Yeah,
I know. It's maybe so
he's not
stupid.
Real. You're right. It's Jim. He doesn't recognize him.
He didn't recognize him. And I was like, this is so dumb. So anyway, so I was just like, all right. He goes to this town. He's like, I want my stuff. And I was just like, all right, cool. He had all like 20 guns camels. Under his little cap. Yeah. So I was just like, okay. He got his camels. He has the interceptor that turned into like this big machinery, which I was like, where did you find all this stuff to turn into like a big world thing? I was like, all right, whatever it is. Then he does this deal with Tina Turner. And I was like, all right, cool. Then he gets to the gulag. And I was like, oh my God. Then they introduce Rufio and the kids. And I was just like, what the hell is... Honestly, dude, I checked out. I said, this shit is whack. I was like, this is one of the dumbest storylines, wasting my damn time that I ever did watching this movie. That storyline with the kids, I understand what they're trying to do. And that's where I got the theory that Mad Max was dead, was there.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I'm like, where is this tropical in the desert? But then it wasn't the desert. It was Australia because they saw Sydney and they saw San Francisco. And I'm like, but still, you mean to tell me that they found an island? That means that island that they were in is in the middle of an ocean that has no water. It's just dried up. That's what you're telling me right now. And Mad Max just walked across the Pacific or the Atlantic to get to these dumb kids. And I don't get it. They show the 7 Boeing 757 or whatever the hell it was. And he is now Captain Morgan. And
I was Captain like, Morgan! Well, Captain Morgan!
That's who it was. Yeah. It was Captain Morgan. And I was just like, you know what? I checked out. And you're right. The damn monkey found him and gave him water. Like, I was just like, where?
Yeah.
And that's where I was like, I think Mad Max was dead. I think he died in the Thunderdome. Because I was just like, I checked out. They go back to the Thunderdome. He saves these kids. He saves whatever, destroys the town. And I was just like, this is one of the dumbest storylines. I don't like it. I don't like the storyline. This is a horrible storyline. I don't even know why Warner Brothers greenlighted this shit. Because I would have been like, yo, this is some dumbass shit. Like, go back and redo this damn thing. Give me more post-apocalyptic craziness, like cannibals.
Yeah.
Like something. But I don't like it. The little kids storyline is one of the dumbest storylines. The orphans. I'm going to call them orphans.
Yeah, the orphans. You know. The Lost Boys. That's what I call them. The Lost Boys.
Yeah, you can call them that. But I'm telling you, the chick was Rufio. They're like, Rufio!
And, they were like, and she got that big stick with like a, it looks like a big selfie stick with an empty square.
She's like going, well, that was supposed to be the TV screen.
Yeah. Look at this drawing through these sticks.
Oh my God. What is going on?
Yeah. And then she shook it and everyone was like, And you see Mel Gibson like trying not to laugh.
Yeah.
But he's like, even this is fucking dumb, but I got paid for it. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I gave it a 2 for decent. You gave it a 2. All right. Overall, what's your overall?
You know what? Film? The more you talked, the more I'm convinced he died in the first movie. I think you might be right. Because in the second movie, like people see him and stuff, but he doesn't stay with, every movie starts with him being off by himself, doing something, and then leaving by himself. He doesn't stay with them. This movie, he's walking with the camels just in the middle of nowhere. All of a sudden, the plane, which great shot, but the opening shot of this movie is awesome, where it starts off way far in the plane and it literally just comes all the way down. I like that. And then the movie ends with him again, not with everyone. He might just be and from what I remember, Fury Road's the same thing. He's all by himself. Then all of a sudden he's involved in some shenanigans and he ends up going off by himself. He might be a ghost. I think he might be a ghost. I gave this movie a 2. I didn't like it. It's definitely the worst. I see why everyone says it's the worst. I agree with that assessment. Do I think it's like a horrible piece of crap movie? Close. It's close to me. Like, I can't imagine ever, besides for this show, I don't think I'll ever watch it again. Like, I don't know why I would ever need to watch this one. You can literally watch the first one, the second one, and Fury Road, and you'd get the same experience. They're just skipping this one because Max, there is no storyline that flows through for the character, as we have talked about. They don't even mention his dead daughter. I mean, his dead wife, his dead son, nothing in this movie. He's just a guy. So you could literally skip this and the movies, because Fury Road references the kid and the wife. So you don't need to watch this. Just skip it. Unless you're a purist that you really want to see all of them, then okay, it's a two. There's it's well shot. I will say that it is well shot. It's well made. The production values are good, but the script is horrible. And, the characters are not that interesting and there's not enough action. So a two.
Yeah. I mean, I give it a decent, I never watching this again. You know, it's funny. I watched it when I got the 4K and I was like, oh man, I don't have to put this again ever again. Then I looked it up in our schedule and I said, fuck, I gotta sit through this damn thing again.
Yeah.
But I'm happy we got through it. The 4K doesn't look as good.
The first one looks the best out of so far.
Yeah. Two, the transfers. I mean, transfers don't look good. Like two on, they did not do their work. It was like lazy to me, to be honest with you. The sound is, well, my disc had the bad audio, so it is what it is.
I watched it digital and it had Dolby whatever audio. It was great.
Yeah. But yeah, I bet it sounded great, but mine's, I had that trouble with the like missing audios and all that crap, which you heard. But anyway, my overall is a decent. It's not good. I don't like it. I think it's a horrible story, and I can see now why Warner Brothers took 30 years to do another one.
That's the real reason. It ain't because of the money. It's because this movie sucks.
Well, the budget was $12 million, because I just looked it up. It was $12 million to make, and they only grossed $36 million.
So it made money. It made money. Yeah. It had to make around 20, 25, probably in those days.
Yeah.
Maybe 20. So it was profitable, but not that good.
Yeah, it's the weakest out of all of them. But other than that,
my total was a 12 out of a 25. I think yours was only an 11. If my mine's math is correct. 10, even worse. A 10. Okay, so a 10 and a 12. Not great. Skip this one. Just go to the next one. Okay, coming up next, we are wrapping up our remake month, which has been surprisingly fun up to this point. And we're going to be doing Conan the Barbarian from 2011, starring Jason Momoa and 3 minutes of the voice of Morgan Freeman. And then next week, we wrap up. So we're doing a couple wrap-ups because next week we wrap up our Mad Max franchise with Mad Max Fury Road, the reboot, reinvention, reintroduction of the character, again, directed by George Miller, which is kind of cool. He directed all of them. And so we will cover that one, starring Tom Hardy this time as Max, and returning that actor who played Toe Cutter as the big gross villain in this one. So that should be fun. Haven't seen it in years.
Yeah, I still think you should watch it black and white. It could change your way. but if you have it digital, you should have it.
I do.
But
I do have it digital. And physical. Yeah,
there you go. But I don't... Damn. I think
my disc doesn't come with the black and white.
No, it don't. I think digitally you might be lucky. It might have it.
I'll check it out.
But anyway, with that said, you guys want to follow Nate on Instagram? Check out his live show on Instagram every other Monday when we're not live. Him and his friends that he did the podcast with, Nate Flicks Movie Reviews, they join forces again every other Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern. They talk about their movies that they watch for the week, the movies that they saw in the theater. They talk about, you know, they answer questions that you guys put on the chat. And of course, if you are nice enough, they might even allow you live with them to hang out with them. But I can't tell you that because I haven't been. I can't say what they do live.
You can ask questions and we answer them.
Yeah, that's all they do. I don't know if they're going to put you live. But anyway, that's just me clowning around. But yes, but you can check out their podcast also that they did 200 plus episodes. Netflix Movie Reviews on all podcast platforms. Anything action movie, guys, head over to Instagram, Geeks and Flicks. Then, of course, head over to our official website, www.geeksandflicks.com. You guys can have all the podcasts there. I'll be updating it again soon. Other than that, I'm your host, Adi Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.